From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that cannot only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. We begin with the national news. President Joko Widodo has officially ratified the Presidential Regulation No. 53/2021 on the National Human Rights Action Plan, or RANHAM, 2021-2025 on June 8, and was legislated into law on the same day. One of the points contained in the plan mentioned the strategic subject of respect, protection, fulfillment, enforcement, and promotion of human rights. The law also states four groups into this category, namely women, children, people with disabilities, and custom society. This latest version is an advancement from the RANHAM 2015-2019, which failed to accommodate the protection of sexual minority groups and agrarian issues. The government urged the House of Representatives, or DPR, to immediately ratify the Sexual Violence Eradication Bill. Presidential Chief of Staff Muldoko said when opening the kickoff meeting of the Acceleration, Acceleration Task Force for the Law Issuance in Binagraha Building, Jakarta, via a written statement on Tuesday, that sexual violence cases keep rising and there are more complex forms of violence. Muldoko, who is also one of the members of the Task Force Steering Committee, explained many forms of sexual assaults have not been regulated in existing regulations based on victims' experiences, particularly women. There is also an urgency to accommodate the rights of victims that have not been fulfilled by FAR. Thus, Muldoko considered the bill as a hope to provide comprehensive handling in the prevention, case handling, protection, and recovery of victims. The Indonesian government is targeting to integrate nearly 30 million small and medium-scale enterprises, or MSMEs, into the digital ecosystem by 2024. Cooperative Small and Medium-Scale Enterprises Minister Teten Mas Duki made the statement. At a webinar in Jakarta on Tuesday, Mas Duki said the number of MSMEs in the digital ecosystem is pegged at 13.5 million at present. The government is currently focusing on supporting the transformation of SMEs in the agriculture sector. Later, it would shift its focus to traditional markets and traders across Indonesia. The ministry will also encourage the digital transformation of small kiosks and street vendors. According to Mas Duki, digitalization will help SMEs to expand their market and ease the transaction process. MSMEs should also use social media as a process toward a large e-commerce platform, while improving their product quality to compete in the domestic as well as the international market. Now we move to the international news. The United Nations Cultural Agency, UNESCO, has recommended removing Liverpool's waterfront from its list of World Heritage Sites over concerns about overdevelopment, a move that has angered many in the northwestern English city. The guidance was published by UNESCO ahead of a meeting of its World Heritage Committee, which oversees the coveted accolade in Fuzhou, China, from July 16 to the 31st. In moves that have also caused controversy, it has proposed that sites including Australia's Great Barrier Reef, Venice, and Budapest be put on the list of World Heritage in danger, meaning they risk being removed entirely. Participants at the China meeting will take the final decision on the deletion and warning proposals. Sydney was battling a fresh COVID-19 cluster on Tuesday just as Melbourne's latest outbreak receded, highlighting Australia's difficulty in quashing persistent small virus flare-ups. 10 people were diagnosed with COVID-19 in Sydney overnight, taking the cluster that first emerged in the city's Bondi Beach area last week to 21 cases. New South Wales State Premier Gladys Berejiklian said health officials expected the outbreak in Australia's most populous city to continue growing in the coming days. In response, the government has reimposed mandatory mask wearing in public transport and retail outlets across much of Greater Sydney, but it has stopped short of ordering a lockdown. China's longest-serving ambassador to Washington, Chui Tianchai, said on Tuesday he will be leaving his post after 8 years amid strained relations between the world's two largest economies. Chui, known for his more congenial diplomatic manner, is expected to be replaced by Qin Gang, a trusted aide of President Xi Jinping, known for his sharp retorts to criticism of China. China's foreign ministry declined to comment on Tuesday on who will succeed Chui, but sources with knowledge of the matter have told Reuters that Tin is expected to take over. We end the news with Russia that intends to strengthen bilateral relations with Syria and help rebuild various sectors of the country's war-torn economy, including energy, transport infrastructure, industry, and agriculture. Russian Deputy Prime Minister Yuri Borisov said on Tuesday, at a meeting with Syrian Minister of Presidential Affairs Mansour Azam in Damascus, Borisov noted that Russian military assistance helped stabilize the situation and enforce the cessation of hostilities in most parts of Syria, and further normalization should be achieved through economic means. Borisov also congratulated Azam and the Syrian people on behalf of the Russian leadership on the victory of Bashar Assad in Syrian presidential election on May 26. He stressed that the results of the vote confirm Assad's political authority and the public's confidence in his leadership. Well, listener, that was the news.
Sila dasar negara, rakyat adil makmur sentosa. Pribadi bangsaku, ayo maju, maju, ayo maju, maju, ayo maju, maju. Negara Pancasila. Sedia berkorban untukmu, Pancasila dasar negara, rakyat adil makmur sentosa. Pribadi bangsaku, ayo maju, maju, ayo maju, maju, ayo maju, maju. ayo maju, maju, ayo maju, maju.
Increasing resistance from armed militias against the military junta could spark a civil war in Myanmar. Tuesday, June 22, armed conflict between the military and militia occurred in the city of Mandalay. Attempt to raid a school building using armored vehicles were met with resistance by the militia. A number of soldiers were injured, while on the militia side, four people were killed. The video of the incidents has been widely circulated on social media. It is said hundreds of anti-coup protesters from various corners of small towns and villages had attended military trainings, preparing against the military junta's troops. The worsening condition indicates that the five consensus of Asian leaders when they met in Jakarta last April did not have a positive impact on resolving the condition in Myanmar, a member of ASEAN. As stated by a number of observers, the leader of the Myanmar junta considers the Jakarta consensus not a binding agreement that must be implemented. It was the skepticism of the opponents of the military junta as well as the non-implementation of the consensus that caused the situation to become more uncertain and local militias arose. The half-hearted attitude of some Asian member states in resolving the political crisis and military violence in Myanmar can be cited as one of the causes of the escalation of violence there. As is known, two Asian member countries, Thailand and Singapore, have shown a friendly attitude to the military government. Singapore is even reported to have invested in the conflict-ridden country. The different attitudes of Asian member countries were also shown when the United Nations drafted a resolution to stop arms supplies to Myanmar. At the time of voting on the UN resolution to impose an arms embargo on Myanmar, Thailand, Brunei Darussalam, Cambodia, and Laos all abstained. Indonesia is one of the supporters of the UN resolution along with 198 other countries, while 36 countries have abstained, including China. To what extent the impact of the UN resolution will be is still unknown. What is certain, the political and economic interests of various countries, including within ASEAN, can be an indication of the complexity of solving problems in Myanmar. China's position as one of the big countries that supports the military junta, both tangible and intangible, is an indicator of the difficulty of solving the problems. China's attitude is different from the United States and the European Union, which openly stopped cooperation with Myanmar's top military officials. If the UN resolution does not have an impact, it is very likely that the conflict will escalate. Fears of a civil war in Myanmar are becoming more and more justified. Facing this uncertainty, Asian member countries that have a clear commitment must be willing to come forward, at least become the initiator for solving the problem.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on June 23rd about International Public Service Day. International Public Service Day was set by the United Nations in 2003 in United Nations Resolution Number 57/277. The resolution calls on all UN member states to raise awareness of the government and all parties engaged in the public sector regarding the importance of improving public services as part of efforts to improve people's welfare. Moving on to an event on June 23rd about International Widows Day. The commemoration of Widows Day was initiated by the Lumba Foundation. an organization from India to raise awareness of the human rights violations suffered by widows in many countries after the death of their spouse. June 23rd was chosen based on the death date of Srimati Pushpawati Lumba, mother of the organization founder Lord Lumba, on June 23, 1954. In 2010, they proposed this day to the United Nations. On December 21, 2010, the United Nations officially adopted June 23rd as International Widows Day. We end today in history with an event on June 23, 2016, when Britain held a referendum on membership in the European Union. On June 23, 2016, the British people voted in a referendum to withdraw from the European Union. As a result, 51.9% supported a UK exit or Brexit and 48.1% opposed the move. The referendum marks the first time for a country to decide to leave the European Union. Well, listener, that was today in history.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhen que pei tai kou zhao yi fang chi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni. 你的口罩, 保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19. En portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Tak pernah ber. caramu
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Trade Minister Muhammad Lutfi, along with Canadian Small Business Export Promotion and International Trade Minister Mary Ng, officially launched the beginning of Indonesia-Canada Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or ICA-SEPA negotiation. The launching was held virtually on Monday. Muhammad Lutfi remarked the ICA-SEPA launching is a milestone in Indonesia-Canada relations that has been ongoing for 69 years. This agreement is expected to support the economic trade and investment growth, including creating jobs for the people of the two nations. Also, Muhammad Lutfi added, this is a foreign cooperation relations strengthening strategy for Indonesia and Canada as equal, important, and strategic partner, mainly amid the very dynamic global geopolitics. Minister Muhammad Lutfi explained this is also a follow-up of President Joko Widodo's direction to make Indonesia actively form international trade negotiations with potential trade partners to open new market, especially to create an export opportunity amid the pandemic. He added, the Indonesia-Canada agreement is a strategic move to open the chance for greater penetration of Indonesian products in North America. Until now, Indonesia only has one trade agreement in the American continent, namely with Chile in South America. Meanwhile, the Trade Ministry's International Negotiation Director General Jatmiko Brice-Wicaksono remarked, the two ministers gave instruction for the two negotiation teams to immediately prepare the technicalities before starting the negotiation. The first round of negotiation is planned to be held before the end of 2021. During the first quarter of 2021, the two nations have had some online intensive discussions on potential issues to include in the agreement. The issues to be discussed include the market access for goods trade, services trade, investment, and economic cooperation. Jadmiko said Indonesian government hoped with the Ika Sepa, Indonesia can compete better with her neighbors in the Southeast Asia who have earlier made trade agreements with Canada or joined in the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement. Meanwhile, quoted from Canadian government official website canada.ca, the Minister for Small Business, Export Promotion and International Trade of Canada, Barry Ng, said the trade relations between Canada and Indonesia has a significant growth potential. According to her, a comprehensive agreement can give the citizens of Canada a better access to Southeast Asian supply chain, open opportunities for Canadian goods and services into the world class in the rapidly developing market, as well as push the long-term job creation and sustainable inclusive growth for the next generation.
Kau berikan arti saat ku tuliskan namamu di hati. Takkan ku sesali dirimu hadir dan menjadi detak di jantungku, detak di jantungku hingga nanti lemah langkahku, hingga nanti putih rambutku, hingga ku kita yang kan ku ingat selalu.
Ku sisipkan kata minta dalam doa hadirmu
kan
tetap ada,
tak akan
di jantungku.
kita yang kan ku ingat.
Cinta kita yang kan ku ingat.
Cinta kita yang kan ku ingat selalu.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Sade is one of the hamlets in the village of Rembitan, Pujut, Central Lombok. The village is only 13 kilometers or 25 minutes away by car from the airport. This village is known as village that maintains the customs of the Sasak tribe. The Sasak Sade tribe is well known among tourists who come to Lombok. The local tourism office has made Sade as tourism village because of the Sade village uniqueness and the Sasak tribe that lived in it. Even though it is located right next to a smooth asphalt highway, the residents of Sade village in Rembitan still strongly maintain the authenticity of this village. Sade village still display the atmosphere of the original Lombok native village. It can be seen from the house building that seems very traditional. The roof is made of fibers and some of the roof are made of bamboo without nails. The walls are made of woven bamboo and are directly grounded on the earth. The Sasak Sade people named the building Bali. There are 8 Balis, namely Bali Tani, Jajar Sekenam, Bonter, Belek, Beruka, Tajuk, and Bincinga. Those Balis are distinguished from their function. In this village, there are 150 houses with 150 heads of families with total of 700 people. This village has been inhabited for 15 generations. In the past, many of the population adhered to Islam waktu telu, only 3 prayers a day. But now, many Sade residents have left the waktu telu and embrace Islam completely. Uniquely, the villagers have a special habit of mopping the floor using buffalo dung to beautify and strengthen the floor. So, the function of the buffalo dung is as an adhesive so that the floor is not porous. Woven fabrics and accessories from threads, such as bracelets and necklaces, are the expertise of the women of the Sade village. The women of the Sade village must be able to weave. They can even get married if they are good at weaving. Sade village has an unusual marriage tradition, namely eloping marriages, where a man will elope the woman he likes and takes her away. Afterwards, the man asks for blessing of the woman's family. This tradition is still carried out by the Sade community to this day. Proposals and fiancés are considered a violation of the custom. Amid the modernity, the Sasak Sade tribe still maintain their customs and traditions. Naturally, some tourists flock to get to know more about this village that has existed since 1,500 years ago.
Menutup lembaran cerita. Oh, sayangku, aku tak mau. Ku tahu semua akan berakhir, tapi ku tak rela lepaskanmu.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is about kesehatan, which means health. Stay tuned. Listener, here is the conversation entitled Mencuci Tangan Dengan Sabun, which means washing hands with soap. This dialogue is between Kevin and a pharmacist. The pharmacist offers Kevin a hand sanitizer. Kevin tells the pharmacist that he washes hands more often with soap than hand sanitizer. Let's listen to the conversation.
Mau beli penyanitasi tangan juga?
Tidak, masih ada karena saya sering mencuci tangan dengan sabun.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Penyanitasi tangan, which means hand sanitizer. Mencuci tangan, which means washing hands. Dengan, which means with. Sabun, which means soap. Saya sering mencuci tangan dengan sabun. Saya sering mencuci tangan dengan sabun, which means I often wash hands with soap. In the dialogue, you listen to a statement, saya sering mencuci tangan dengan sabun. Saya sering mencuci tangan dengan sabun, which means I often wash hands with soap. In the statement, there is a connecting word dengan, which means with. In the dialogue context, it is used to inform a tool that is used. For example, saya mencuci tangan dengan sabun. Saya mencuci tangan dengan sabun, which means I often wash hands with soap. Let's listen to the other examples of the connecting word dengan, which means with. Saya sering mencuci tangan dengan sabun. Saya sering mencuci tangan dengan sabun, which means I often wash hands with soap. Bagus, which means good. Bagi dua obat dengan pisau, which means split the medicine into two with knife. Baik, which means all right. Since the COVID-19 pandemic broke out, many people have been aware of the importance of keeping health and self-cleanliness. One of ways to keep self-cleanliness is by always bringing along hand sanitizer anywhere to make us easier to wash hands every time we touch objects. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Mau beli penyanitasi tangan juga?
Tidak, masih ada karena saya sering mencuci tangan dengan sabun.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Ku hampiri engkau meski kau jauh. Sendiri ku tempuh hanya untuk bertemu denganmu. Ku hampiri engkau meski kau jauh. Namun hatimu telah runtuh dan buatku terjatuh. Kau tak pernah tahu betapa hati yakin untukmu. Kau tak pernah tahu betapa aku merindukanmu. Intuisiku selalu mengarah kepadamu. Oh, intuisiku selalu mengarah kepadamu. Oh, tapi tak jua. pita jua kau hiraukan aku. Mungkin ku tak bisa buatmu lulu, namun kau harus tahu bahwa diriku sungguh-sungguh kau tak pernah tahu betapa hati yakin untukmu.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, I would like to present a song from Banjar Regency, South Kalimantan, entitled Uma Abah. The song Uma Abah was composed by Anang Ardiansyah, a singer and songwriter, particularly Banjar songs. Based on the title, it means father and mother. It tells about the struggle of parents for their children. Although the weather is very hot and the ribs until the waist are very painful, the mother still struggles to earn some money. Meanwhile, the father also keeps working in spite of heavy rain and thunder. The song also tells the love of children to their parents. They are willing to replace the tiredness and sweat of their parents. The children also pray to God in order to forgive the sins of their parents who have taken care of them since childhood. Well, listener, here is the song Uma Abah by Raja.
Caramin matanya. jejaknya. Guntur kilat bersambung, hujan lebat arus deras wan galumbangnya, awak basah kedinginan di tengah sungai. Cari akan rezekinya, Uma mun boleh sakit umaku ganti akan lawan segala pahalaku.
Muka bulik pangsa rumah
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.